ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यामनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपं कदा मायं ददाति स्वयं पदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतपदाकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सहगृजातं सहगन रघुनाथं वितन्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं साधुभूतं परिजन सहितं श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पदां सहगन ललिता श्रीविशाखां सजीवं वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुयैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदमियाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौर तुसि नमः। हे कृष्ण करुण सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ग्रीष्मानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा।
सो वी गोना रीड फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 Chapter 9, and the verse is 5, am I right?
4.
We'll be reading a few verses today. I have been asked to. Tad deva helanam tasyaha. Tad deva helanam tasyaha. Dharmali. कहम सुरेश्वरा धर्मलीकम सुरेश्वरा अलाकक्ष्य हतरस्य भीतस अलक्ष्यातरसह भीतस तत्ची सामि अचिन्ना दुषः तत्चीरसानि अचिन्ना दुषः तद्देवा हेलनाम तस्यः धर्मलीकं सुरेश्वरः अलक्षहतर सहबीतस तत्चीशानि अचिन्नादरुषः तद्देवा हेलनाम तस्यः धर्मलीकहं सुरेश्वरा अलकक्षहतर सहबीतस तत्ची सहानि अचिन्ना दुरुषः।
That
Deva Helam
offenses to the demigod,
Tasya of him, Vishwarupa, Dharma Alikam, cheating in religious principle, pretending to be the priest of the demigod, but secretly acting at the priest of the demons also. Suva Ishwara, the king of the demigods, Lakshaya,
observing,
Tarasa,
quickly,
being afraid that the demons would gain strength by being blessed by Vishwarupa.
Tat,
he is Vishwarupa's
Sriyasani,
heads,
Achinna,
cut off,
Dusa,
with great anger. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Once upon a time, however, the king of heaven, Indra, understood that Vishwarupa was secretly cheating the demigods. By offering oblations on behalf of the demons, he became extremely afraid of being defeated by the demons, and in great anger at Vishwarupa, he cut Vishwarupa's three heads from his shoulders. So we're going to read this. Once upon a time, however, the king of heaven,
Indra,
understood that Vishwarupa
was
secretly cheating the demigods by offering oblations on behalf of the demons. He became extremely afraid
of being defeated by the demons,
and in great anger
at Vishwarupa,
he cut Vishwarupa's three heads
from his shoulders.
So I have been asked to read a few more verses, and I'm going to read them and read the translation. Soma pitham tu yadtasyaha shirasita kapinjalaha kalavina kava surapitaham anandam yadsatiti kriyim. Therefore, the head man for drinking somaras was transformed into a kapinjala. This is a falcon partridge. Similarly, the head man for drinking wine was transformed into kava mincha, sparrow, and the head man for eating food became a titi-tree, common partridge. He had three heads for three different things. Brahma hatyam ajnalinaha jagaraha yad api ishvaraha samavat sarayante tat agaham bhutanam sabishyutaya bhumi ambu durmayosi vyas chatur daya vyad chad dharir. Although Indra was so powerful that he could neutralize the sinful reaction of killing a Brahman, he repentantly accepted the burden of the reaction with folded hands. He suffered for 1 year, and then to purify himself, he distributed the reaction for the sinful killing among the earth, water, trees and women. Bhumi Sriyam Jagraha Kathapura Vare Navai Idhanaham Brahma Hatyaya Rupam Bhumahu Prasayidyate. In return for killing Indra's benediction, the ditches in the air to be filled automatically. The land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reaction of killing a Brahman. Because of the sinful reactions, we find many deserts on the surface of earth. Because deserts are manifestations of earth's disease condition, no auspicious ritualistic ceremony can be performed in a desert. Persons destined to live in deserts are understood to be sharing the reactions for the sin of Brahma Hatya, the killing of the Brahman. So that was the verse, Canto 6, Chapter 9, Text 7. So we continue from 8 tomorrow. So what do we learn from this? What is the lesson from this? So I'll try to give an overview of what is to be coming in the future text. You know, this is basically almost appearance of Vritrasur. You know, so now you can see a lot of people in a lot of religion. Even actually says that we should go to the heavenly planets. And of the heavenly planet, who is in charge of that? Indra. So even Indra, you know, first what he did was he committed offense to his Guru Maharaj, Brihaspati. Right? He was so much engaged in sense gratification that way he did not respect his spiritual master. Now, so the lesson we have to learn from this is that we have to be really careful, you know, with our spiritual master. Who is a spiritual master? It's not only those whom we take diksha from. In our sampradaya, siksha gurus are more, you know, treated as higher than even diksha gurus. It is nice if the siksha guru and diksha gurus are the same person. But, you know, if you look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, who was his guru? But whom do we know him as guru? He did not take initiation from Jagannath Das Babaji. His guru's name was Bipinder, something like that. So we, in our guru, siksha gurus are very important. You know. So we have to be very careful not to offend them. You know, right? So that's the first lesson. You know. And if you offend them, what happens? You lose everything. You know. Indra and the demigods lost everything. Now one person commits the offense, right? That's the next lesson, you know. The whole family gets affected. All the demigods have got affected and they were kicked out of the heavenly planet. Right? So, first mistake, offense to the guru. Then, Lord Brahma told them to accept Vishwarupa as his guru, you know. And then he did a lot of austerities and prayers and things like that, you know, and the demigods won the kingdom back because they were powerful. Now, what he gave or what he told them was the Narayana Kavach. So, this is how they said you get protected. So, how do we protect ourselves? We don't know all the mantras, we don't have the time to do that. So how do we protect ourselves? And? Huh? And?
Association.
And?
Nursing their pets.
We put tilak on our body. So every morning, after taking bath, whoever is listening to this class, you know, put tilak on there. Regardless whether you're going to work, you have a shower, you put tilak on there. And this is how we protect our body. This is what Prabhupada has given us. You know? We chant the mantra, Om Keshwaya Namah, Om Narayana Namah, Om Madhvaya Namah. Then we put tilak on there and we put tulsi leaf at the bottom, at the lotus feet of the Lord, you know. So we have tulsi on 12 parts of our body. Right? This is how we protect our, this is our kavach. Right? One Srila Gurudev, Swamastama Krishna Goswami Maharaj was in Fiji and the driver was going to take him to a program which was quite a bit far away. He was a bit late, you know, he had his own business, so he came and then he quickly showered and put on his clothes. And the first thing Gurudev asked, did you put your tulip? He said, no, Srila Gurudev, we are getting late. He said, don't ever do that. Takes a minute or two, you know, to put the tilak on. But you don't know how much danger we are at every moment. This tilak will protect you, you know. Once I was reading somewhere, there is a person who died under a tree. And there was a bed that was sitting on top. So she passed through and it fell on the forehead. You know? And the Yamdutas came, you know, to take this guy away. And they saw that, and they saw that it was tilak, you know, and they left him alone. You know, so this is how powerful this is. You know. So this is very important that we put tilak on. We put this kanti mala, it's very nice. But the thing is that this can break, right? But the tilak will always be there. So it's very important to put the tilak. Even you go to hospital, you know, first thing they do is take this out, you know, if there's a serious situation, you know. But the tilak stays on the body. So that is our kavach. Now because of that kavach, right, who was given, I think, initially by Dadichi, right, it was given to Vishwarupa's father, right, who gave it to Vishwarupa, who gave it to Indra, right? So if you look at it, you know, so Brahma told them, okay, go and take, accept Vishwarupa as your spiritual master, your priest, because Braspati is gone, do all these yagyas, whatever you have to do, you know, then you're going to get the ability to actually take the kingdom back. So Vishwarupa, who was he? One of his parents was from a demonic family, he was a demon, right? I don't know whether his mother or the father. And the other parent was from a demigod. So he had a loving affection for both of them. So while he was doing all these yagyas, you know, that's what he's telling here, that's where we are at the moment, right? He was secretly also offering oblation on behalf of the demons. Now if you look at Indra, you know, he's a devotee of Krishna. But what kind of a devotee he is? He's a Shukam devotee. You know what a Shukam is? He's a devotee of Krishna, but he also wants to enjoy material opulences. So he wants also to have sense gratification. He's also a devotee of Krishna. And Akam devotees are those who don't have any desire, you know, if they have any issues, they have any problems, they don't go to Krishna. They just want to save him with love and devotion. So these are pure devotees. So the demigods are one of those devotees who are, you know, have material desires, right? So they want to enjoy their. Now you look at it, Indra, not long ago, offended his spiritual master. And now what he does again? He kills the next one. First one was just offensive. Second one, he kills it. You know. He cuts three of his heads, you know. Right? So, why? Because he was scared the demigods will become more powerful and take his kingdom. So, this is the difference between, you know, a pure devotee. He doesn't care. He accepts everything, mercy as the ministry of the Lord. And while those who are karmis or doing karam yoga, this is what they are doing, karam yoga. They're doing karam, but they're connecting it to Krishna. They are scared of losing their opulences. And he killed him. Right? So, after killing him, his father, he got very upset, you know, just like anybody would, you know. Right? And Indra also got a reaction because he not only killed the Brahman, but he also killed his spiritual master. Right? So, he got a lot of sins for that. And he suffered for a year. He could have counteracted it because of his position, right? But what he did was, after 1 year, then he passed it on to 4 different peoples, one quota each. Who were those? Earth, women, trees, and water. Okay, I've got a question for you. When I was reading this, you know, what happens in the water? How do you do this? So does that mean we can't bring any of these fizzy drinks because it has all bubbles in there? Does the bubbles mean it is sin? Because that's the sign of sin in there, you know. Right? And the trees have sap coming out of it that we should not drink, right? Because it should not be taken because it's the... the women, you know, they have their menstrual cycle, you know, the period. You know. So you should blame Indra for all this, you know, the problems that women have. You know. So this is how he actually distributed his own sin to others so that he could be purified of it. You know. And then what happens? His father, you know, Vishwarupa's father does a yagna, and what was his desire to increase the demon or enemies of Lord Indra, right? But because he did not chant the mantra properly, instead of increasing the number of, you know, he wanted many more enemies of Indra, one demon came out of the fire. And what was his name?
Vritrasur.
What does Vritra mean? Vritrasur. So Vritrasur was very powerful. He was blackish in color. It's described that he looked like a mountain that has been burnt with fire. So it was all black, kind of, you know. And he was very, very strong. When they did the chaining of the ocean, they used a snake,
right? What was the name of the snake? His body, his arms were thick like that. You know, so just imagine how strong he was, right? And when the demigod saw that, they tried to attack him. And he swallowed all their weapons, you know. So, you know, and there was, they didn't have any chance of actually winning there. So they got despondent and they went to Brahma. They actually worship Vishnu, and Vishnu actually told them what to do. What was his Rishi? The Dichi. So he said, go and get a thunderbolt, right? Made out of his bones. Right? This person was so powerful. Remember when we were talking about the Narayana Kavacha? He was the one who actually gave it. So he was already protected by that. So he said, I am in his bones, in our head. Well, Lord Vishnu told him, and if you take that and kill him, you know. So they went to this person and said, we need your bones, you know. Just imagine, you know. He go to a person and said, we basically want you dead, you know. Because he can't get the bones unless that person is killed, you know. And then, yeah, he said, okay, you know. And because he was a devotee of Krishna, he said, it's time to leave the body. Rather than my body being eaten by jackal, at least jackals and dogs, you know, at least it will be better used this way, you know. So he gave his body up, and they made a thunderbolt out of that, you know. And then the war started again. So by this time, because the demigods were protected, they became very powerful, you know, and they were more powerful than the demons, you know. And then the fight started. And all the demons started running away because they could not, you know, they started hitting him, but they couldn't, they destroyed all their weapons and everything, you know. And Vitrasur basically was fighting there alone, you know. So, prepare a little bit, right? About, all the demons used to be us, you know. So we, it's basically Vitrasur, the godly demon, right? The Vedic literatures contain many histories meant to enlighten us with transcendental knowledge and teach us valuable lessons so that we can progress on the spiritual path. The Srimad Bhagavatam in particular is filled with such stories. And one of the stories here is about Vitrasura. One deals with the demon named Vitrasura. Despite playing the role of a demon, Vitrasura is actually a very elevated bhakti yogi. He was created in a sacrificial fire to fight Indra, the king of heaven. Vitrasura was so powerful that he struck fear everywhere and was able to fight an enemy of demigods by himself. Army of demigods by himself. What makes Vitrasura so glorious is not his immense strength as a fighter, but rather his level of spiritual elevation. So this is the most important thing, you know, to understand that he was not only a great fighter, but he was a devotee of Krishna. You know. He was a bhakti yogi. You know. During the battle, Vitrasura struck Indra with an iron mace and disarmed him. And Indra loses courage to fight. So in that way, if you really look at it, you know, Indra had actually lost the fight, you know, right? And Vitrasura did not kill him, you know. While when the demigods were fighting and the demons were running away, the demigods were shooting them from behind, which is not the right way to fight, you know. The right way to fight is that if you are fighting with somebody, if your opponent does not have a weapon, you give them a weapon and then fight. Not like today's fighting, you know, you just come and bomb a place, you know, whom you're killing, you know. But this was the actual way of fighting, you know. And the demigods not were doing that. But here, a demon, you know, is trying to follow the etiquette of fighting, you know. Vitra then begins a philosophical disclosure with Indra and encourages him to keep fighting. So he's encouraging his opponent to fight. During the discussion, Vitra reveals his status as an advanced bhakti yogi. Just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame and everything else at the time of God, at death. So at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all these when the Supreme Lord awards them by His mercy. So what does this mean? At the time of death, what happens? You lose everything, right? Your fame, your longevity, whatever your bank balance is, you know, your wife, your children, your prestige, your nationality, nothing goes with you. Everything is finished. Right? Same way, by the mercy of the Lord, when victory comes, you can get all of those things. But you have to understand, it only happens because of the mercy of the Lord. Right? Without the mercy of the Lord, nothing can happen. Right? So we have to understand that whatever we have, it's only given to us by the mercy of the Lord. You know, if Krishna gives us something, then we can actually, otherwise we lose everything in there. You know. Since everything is dependent on the supreme will of the personality of Godhead, one should be equipoised in fame and deflation, victory and defeat, life and death. Right? So we should accept everything as the will of the Lord. Whatever comes our way, we should accept it. We should not fight it. You know. Sometimes it's a difficulty. I had somebody ask me this question where the husband was not a devotee, the wife was a devotee, and there was a lot of mistreatment, you know. So how do you answer these questions? You know? Should the wife should accept this as a mercy of the Lord and try to, you know, tolerate it, be tolerant? You know? What's the answer to it? So I said, you know, general principle in our is this: if it is favorable to a Krishna consciousness, accept it. If it is not favorable, leave it and keep moving. You know. So you have to weigh this, you know, right? Whether it is favorable to you, you know. And if it is not, then leave it. Because what we have to understand is that, as it will be further discussed, you know, in the coming days as the lectures are given, is that everything is temporary, you know. When Chitraketu, you know, when he loses his son, you know, Narad Muni and Angira, right? They come to actually preach to him. And while they're preaching to him, they tell him, you know, everything is temporary, you know. Before the birth of the child, before the birth of your son, right? He was not your son. And after that, he's not your son. So whatever is happening is temporary, is for a small period of time. You know. So same thing with us, you know. Our husband, our wife, our properties, everything is temporary. Temporary means, you know, so don't get attached to this, you know. Don't get attached to this body, you know. Don't spend too much time in front of the mirror every time you're decorating it. Now the more you look at it, the more you get attached to it. You know. Keep it simple, you know. Right? Use it, you know. Look after it, because you are using it in Krishna's service, you are using it in the service of a spiritual master. And that's what we do, you know, you don't get too attached to it, you know. Since everything is dependent on the supreme will of the personality of God, one should be equipoised. So you must be, regardless of what the situation is, we should not be. Try to, at least, you know, make an endeavor to do that, you know. India, in fact, represented by happiness and distress, one should maintain oneself in equilibrium without anxiety. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, patience and endurance, are not qualities of the soul but qualities of the material nature. And who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer and the action of reactions and the quality should be understood to be a liberated person. He is not bound by the three qualities. So what we have to know is that since we are not this body, the body is affected by the three modes of material nature, right? Since we are not this body, the soul has nothing to do with the body in a way, right? Because body is external energy of the Lord, right? Made of those 24 elements, you know. But, so the soul is entrapped in the body. So it's like you are the passenger in a car. right? You are not the car. And if you can just sit back and relax and just see that everything is working, you are just the driver in the car, then you don't get affected by all these things. Pain, suffering, all this comes. People die, you can see that. Everything is happening by the will of Lord. You don't get affected by somebody dying. You don't get affected by somebody being born. You know, somebody get deceased and everything. At the end of the day, you know, when it's time to go, you don't think of anything. You know, if you are lucky. If you get too attached to anything material, you know, Srila Prabhupada said that if you have a little bit of desire, you go, and you are devoted, you go to the heavenly planet, you know, and then enjoy there, and hopefully you can go back from there, you know. But the best is, you know, you ask Krishna, you know, to give us enough problems, you know, in our life, you know. I was actually talking to Radha Charan's wife, Krishna Premi Mataji, I said, she said, they're from China, you know. China has made it so strict, even they can't go back. You know, she has to stay here 5 months before she can go back to her own country, you know. And they have to do like 7 PCRs, you know, like that, you know. It's like hell, you know. They have to get a code within 24 hours of traveling, you know, like that. You don't get it, you can't go, you know. And she's saying, it's so hard, you know, so difficult. I said, yeah, it's Krishna's special mercy, you know. See, you know, I said, we get to like this place so much, and when you like this, you want to stay here. If things become easy, you know. If he gets, I said, he wants to, it's a special mercy, he's trying to make you hate this place so much that when you leave this body, I said, don't want to do anything with this place, you know. Please, Krishna, take me. You know. So, this is special mercy when actually we have, and we should pray like that, you know. And Krishna is very merciful, you know. He'll help you go through this, you know. He'll give you as much you can tolerate, you know. So, Vishwasura had a deep insight for demon. Despite fighting for his life, he speaks on various principles of bhakti yoga. The first is to recognize the fleeting nature of all opulence, fame, relative longevity, and everything else in the world. Understanding the consistent nature of such things serves as an impetus for one to search for higher meanings of eternal life. The soul is eternal, and thus it needs greater fulfillment than basic bodily pleasures. So that's what we have been discussing. Admitting our dependence, Vishwasura also recognize that everything is dependent on God, on Krishna. And we should understand this. This is probably one of the main reason. The day you actually understand that we are dependent on Krishna, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, you know, he is the one, our only well-wisher. We are totally dependent on him. We have no ability to do anything, you know. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he gives us remembrance and he gives us forgetfulness, you know. So even me speaking here now, if he doesn't give me the remembrance, I can't speak anything. If he doesn't give me the intelligence, I can't actually say anything. You know? We can't do anything without intelligence. You know? So everything in that way, this body belongs to him. It's not ours. We are just in the body. The car belongs, you know, the vehicle is his, right? We are just using it. And even the vehicle, the car can't work unless the super soul is in there. You know. So what are we doing? We can't do anything, you know. We should be just grateful that by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, from our spiritual master, we are able to use this body in some way to save the Lord, you know. Acknowledging our dependence on God is cultural elements of bhakti yoga. For some, the idea of being dependent of God is frightening. And this is the problem. We don't want to be dependent on somebody. What does dependence mean? That the other person can do anything they want. Right? But we should understand that God, however, is very kind and merciful to us. And he will ensure that those who surrender to him face no difficulties. Right? So if you surrender unto Krishna, Krishna God, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, but those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Chapter 9, verse 22. Right. So, as Prabhupada said, you know, as I heard, I think Srila Gurudev saying also that, you know, At the time of death, you know, Krishna is so merciful. If you are surrendered, if you have saved him, you know, whatever he lacked, you lack, he'll carry you forward, you know. Yeah, as long as you don't have material desires, you know. So, the more we do service, you know, and the beauty about Srila Prabhupada is, you know, Prabhupada has a very special position. He is a pure devotee of Krishna. 500 years ago, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he said that, you know, somebody gonna spread his name all over the world. You know, if you look at it, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, you know, the Panchatattva, they distributed this knowledge, but they only did it in India. Right? Then they had to, you know, you look at Srila Prabhupada's position, you know, he did it for the rest of the world. It where it was most difficult, you know. You know, it's so difficult, you know. And I see Radha Chand Prabhu preaching in China, man, it is so difficult, you know. It's not just preaching and, you know, give them knowledge, give them Bhagavad Gita. It's basically spoon feeding them. It's like being their parents, you know. It's talking about all their life, all the problems, you know. Right? And now it's more difficult with the lockdown and everything. People are getting all mental and everything, you know. And China is the lowest of all the places, you know. You know, and Prabhupada, by his mercy, you know, he's been doing this all over the world, you know. You know. So we are very fortunate in that way, you know. Thus Krishna encourages us to depend on him, worship him and meditate on him. When we rely on our strength and ability, we are held back by our shortcomings. So as long as we depend on Krishna, we are good. If we depend on ourselves, we are in big problem, you know. When we depend on God, however, he enables to overcome any obstacles we may face in our life and retain whatever we have. Moreover, Krishna assures us that he is our friend. Right? So Krishna is our friend. So if our friend, the nature of the friend is it always helps the other friend. You know? Now we every day say, hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Deen Bandhu is a friend of everybody. He's a friend of the most fallen. If you look at Krishna's position, you know, he's so great, he's God, he doesn't need anything. And then he comes and becomes a friend of a fool like me, you know. Fool like us, you know. So he's there, you know. And, you know, our wife, our husband may leave us, our children may leave us, you know. Our parents are somewhere, we are here, we left them, you know. At the time of death, everybody leaves us. But there's one person who never leaves us. Our true friend, right? He's Krishna, you know. So if you really want somebody, you know, have friendship, then have a friend that you'll never lose, you know. There's no one better than Krishna. You know. Krishna says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me is in devotion is a friend. Is in me and I'm also a friend to him. Right? So all we have to do is render service unto him in devotion. Right? This is what bhakti yoga is, you know. Save Krishna with love and devotion, you know. Whatever you do, you try to do it with love and affection. Don't do it out of duty. Try to do it out of love. So how do you do it out of love, you know? For example, if you're doing something, you know, just like for you are cooking, you know, don't think, okay, I want to cook. No, think about what Krishna would like to eat, you know, what the weather is like, you know, right? You know, things like that, you know. What would he like to eat? You know, what would Mother Yashoda cook, you know, like that. Try to find some recipes there, you know. What Prabhupada is to cook, you know, like that. So what pure devotees cook like that, you know. Moreover, Vrittasura also understood the need to tolerate life's onslaughter with equanimity. As he mentions, we should be equally poised happiness and distress since they are both temporary condition ultimately crusted by God. So all these things is temporary. One day it'll be here, tomorrow is gone. You know, as they say, time heals everything. You know, over time, you know, somebody dies. You know, for a little while, everybody is so. You know, 1 week later, 2 weeks later, 1 month later, you probably don't remember about it. You know, and people move on. Lord Krishna says, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their dependence in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer season. They arise from sense perception. O son of Bharata, when one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. O best among thee, man Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress is steady in both and certainly eligible for liberation. Since happiness and distress come and go like winter and summer, we should respond to them with equanimity. Such composure enables us to carry our duties and break free from this material material bondage. So we are actually basically controlled by the three modes of material nature. Are we controlled by the three modes of material nature? Or is the body controlled by the three modes of nature? But since we are in the body, then we are affected by it, you know. But we have to be, you know, you have to actually understand this and try to look at it from a distance, you know. Now, the lesson or the question comes in here is that Indra is a devotee, right? We can understand it. And Virtasura is a demon. And how can, you know, he be so elevated, right? So we'll just go a little bit back to just give an overview of what actually basically happens, you know. So in his previous life, Virtasura was a Chitraketu. He was a king. He was a very king, a very powerful king. And I think he had 1 million or 10 million wives, queens, something like that, you know. My head goes off to him, you know. I can't even look after one, you know. And he had 10 million, but none of them could give him a son, you know. So he had all these opulence, you know. If somebody had 1 million wives, okay, I don't know, it's 10 million, let's say 1 million, it's still, you know. Had that many wives, you know, right? And how big his palace would be, how big his, you know, kingdom be, how much opulence you understand what I'm talking about, it, right? He was so powerful, right? And but he was unhappy. Why wasn't he happy? Because he didn't have a son. And what does son, having a son, mean? Because they are the ones who save you, you know, they are the ones who give you, what do you call, what is the word when somebody dies? Pindadan and all those things, you know, at the time of death, so that when you are, wherever you are stuck, you go on, you know. I have been thinking, you might have the answer to this problem, I've been thinking, when Pandu, he was in the Pitruloka, right? And then he asked Narad Muni to ask Yudhishthira Maharaj to do the Asma Yodhiyak, you know. Why was he there? You know, I'm just thinking now, he is such a powerful, his sons are pure devotees, you know, Kunti is such a, you know, why was he stuck there? You know? Ask your Guru Maharaj, you know. Then tell me. I was just thinking when I was reading this, you know. But what it means is that people are there, you know, when we may, you know, if you're not a pure devotee, I don't know. Now that actually puts a doubt in my head, you know. You know, do we have to go there, you know? Do we need a son to actually help us, you know? Right? So I think we do our as much as we can so we don't have to go there, you know. We go back to Godhead straight away when we leave this body, you know. So Chitraketu, you know, and he was like that, he was quite disturbed, and Angira comes there, you know, Angira, right? Yeah, Angira, right? And then he comes there and he asks him about how is everything, and then finally he discloses that he doesn't have a son, so he does some yajna and something, and by that he gets a son from his oldest queen, right? So they have a son, and then, you know, finally, you know, after 1 million wives, 1 million, 10 million,
yeah.
10 million, right? So you're looking for it, right? 10 million queens, you know. One of them have a kid, you know. And what does the king does? He spends all the time with the son. And who is with the son? The queen, you know. So his affection actually grows for the queen because he's the one who gave him what is most treasured by him. And what happens to the other ones? They become envious and they kill the son, you know. So this is what envy does, you know. So that son gave him so much happiness, but it also gave him so much bliss, you know. And this is where Narad Muni and Angira comes again and actually preach to him, you know. He said, this is all temporary, you know. Right? So he becomes a devotee, you know. He started doing devotional service, he starts chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he gets empowered to travel. And one day while he's traveling, he sees Lord Shiva and Parvati sitting on his lap. And he smiles. You know. Why does he smile? Parvati took it as a small offense. But why did he smile? Because at that time, Lord Shiva was preaching. And he was saying, look at how great Lord Shiva is. You know? He has a beautiful woman sitting in his lap and he's not affected by it. He's still so much focused in his devotion. He's not attached to, you know, women. You know? So he smiled like that. You know? He was smiling at the glory of Lord Shiva. But she took it as an offense and cursed him to become a demon. And that's the demon which was with us. So he was a devotee. When he started doing devotion, he saw Krishna face to face. He saw God face to face. So he was that advanced of the devotee. And he had enough power to counteract the offense. And Lord Shiva tells Parvati, he could have do it, but he doesn't. He did not do it because this is devotees, you know. They accept everything as the mercy of the Lord. Whatever happens, Krishna wants it to happen. Accept it and try to use that in service of Krishna. And here the same person, he is trying to, he's a demon, he's trying to encourage, you know, Lord Indra to kill him, to fight with him. He loses, he said, hey, come on, this is not the time to worry about it. Come on, pick it up. You hit with that. Indra did not even have faith in what Lord has said, that if he used this weapon, he can kill me. And then he encourages and kills him. You know. And then finally, Indra realizes that he had killed not only a Brahmin, but a pure devotee of the Lord. You know. And then everybody is happy that the demon is killed, but Indra is very sad. Because everywhere he sees a woman. The woman is old. There's, you know, she's very sickly, she's very thin, and she's chasing after him. So wait, Indra. And as wherever he goes, you know, she's chasing after him. And who is that? Sin personified. And then finally he goes to a sarovar, you know, where she can enter, and he stays there for 1,000 years, you know, he does meditation in there, you know, get purified in the stems of the lotuses. Why? Because that's a place of Lakshmi Devi. So, goddess of Lakshmi, he could not go there. And yeah, so this is what you're going to hear about in the next few chapters. This was just an overview of what, you know, try to learn the lessons, you know, just don't try to leave this. What is, you know, what we're trying to learn from this, you know. Bhagavad Gita, it gives the principles. You know, Krishna spoke this. This is what, right? And Srimad Bhagavatam is telling that in the story form. So you have to relate the two, what Krishna said there and what here. And one of the things is, you know, if the demigods are like this, why worship them? You know? The other one is you should worship Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know? These are the lessons you learn from this. Thik? Any questions? Any comments? Yes. Hare Krishna. Louder. You said?
We should be able to voice whatever we have, but sometimes we have problems. Sometimes we get a problem. So, like, should we pray to Krishna? Or should we, like, give it to Krishna to do that which finds the
solution? You should always pray to Krishna. We should pray to Krishna not to get rid of the problem, to give us the ability to overcome that problem. You know? So if you have a problem, for example, What is the problem? Give me a problem that you see. What kind of problem are you talking about?
Being sick.
Being sick, right? So you can pray to Krishna, please Krishna, you know, I want to go to the temple. If I'm sick, I can't go to the temple, you know. Make me healthy so I can go to the temple. I can associate with the devotees and things like that. But you also have to understand that when you are sick, then you can stay at home and you can do more chanting. You don't have to go to the school, you know. So it's, you know, that way you can actually. What you have to do is, whatever the situation is, try to connect it to Krishna and try to understand why this is happening. You know, that's the most important thing. Everything that happens in our life, we try to find out why is Krishna doing this? What is the lesson for us to learn from that? If you are getting sick, what does that mean? Do you like to be sick? But as long as we have this body, we'll always get sick, right? So what is the lesson? Get a body that does not get sick, right? Isn't that right? So how do you do that?
By doing devotional service,
by chanting. So the more you get sick, the more you chant, the more you read, the more prasadam you take, you know. And do you all this devotional service, then you don't get this body again that gets sick, it does get old, and then you go back to old forest, and then, you know, you don't get sick, you know. But Krishna also gets sick, right? Does it? Krishna has headache, right? Remember that pastime about Krishna getting headache? Okay. Any other questions? Any other comments? Are you happy? Did I answer your question? Yes, please.
In the before shloka, it said that the Vishwarupa, like, he had three heads, so one head for somaras, one head for eating, and one head for wine.
One head for?
Wine.
Yeah.
So, but then he's a Brahman, so how can he drink wine?
He was half Brahman. This is the thing, you know. Brahman does not mean, okay. Lord Shiva's devotees, are they Brahmins? Aren't they? They are Brahmins. But they take ganja and all those things, you know, right? So sometimes people do that, you know, because they say, I'm a devotee of Lord Shiva, then I can take whatever Lord Shiva takes, you know, things like that, intoxication and things like that. Now, we say, the demigods are also devotees of Krishna, right? But do you know they drink wine too? Somaras, you know? So, yeah. You know. And he was half demon and half devotee. So what do demons do? Yeah, so, you know. Well, the good thing was he had three heads, you know. He was not mixing the three, you know. We only have one head, we take everything from the same one. But the thing is that, you know, it is not the right thing, you know. As Prabhupada said, you know, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, why do Brahmans suffer so much, you know? And Prabhupada said that everyone is not a Brahman. Some of them just are dressed like Brahmans, you know. You know? And they act like Brahmans, but they are not actually Brahmans, you know. If you are in mode, actually you are right. If you are in mode of goodness, that means you are not Brahman, and Brahmans do not take intoxication. Right? So, you have to understand what kind of Brahman he was. Any other questions? Any other comments? That's it? Okay. Grandra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Siko Nitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Oh, Brahmanandi.
Thank you for class.
Thank you, Paul. Sadhu. Hare Krishna. Nice to see you.